This episode is sponsored by Tunbridge Accountants. Are you a creative entrepreneur looking for financial support? Do you need clarity around your numbers or help with decisions related to your business finances? Do you even know what all the numbers mean? Before I worked with Tunbridge Accountants, I definitely didn't. Wendy and Lawton are not just accountants, they're your partners in navigating the complexities of business finance. They make VAT, corporation tax, cash flow management, all of this really simple, guiding you through all the decisions you need to make, whether that's a company purchase, setting up a new business, whether to register as a business. Wendy and Lawton can give you really honest, practical advice on everything. And by letting them take care of your business finances, it then frees you up to focus on what you do best, creating and selling your products. So thank you again to Tunbridge Accountants for sponsoring this podcast. Welcome to the Bring Your Product Idea to Life podcast. This is the podcast for you if you're getting started selling products or if you'd like to create your own product to sell. I'm Vicky Weinberg, a product creation coach and Amazon expert. Every week, I share friendly, practical advice as well as inspirational stories from small businesses. Let's get started. So today on the podcast, I'm speaking to Elle, the e-commerce assistant. So Elle helps people build and grow their online businesses with the power of Shopify to sell more online. She's made it her mission to teach everything she knows about e-commerce to founder-led businesses looking to thrive online. So I invited Elle on specifically to talk about the Shopify 2.0 update, which is something you may or may not have heard about. But we actually ended up covering so much more than that in this chat, which I think is great. So we spoke a lot about Shopify in general, Shopify website, its best practice, the kind of things to include. And I actually think a lot of the advice Elle shares will translate whichever platform you're on. So whether Shopify is a platform you're selling on or even thinking about, I do still think this episode is well worth a listen, because as I say, a lot of the advice she gives is pretty generic and will work anywhere. But of course, we do talk a lot about Shopify as well. Personally, I would say if you haven't created an e-commerce site yet and you're looking to, Shopify is the one that I have experience of. And personally, I found it great. And that was even before all of these additional features that are talking about that we've talked about today. So I definitely think it's worth taking a look. But anyway, I would now love to introduce you to Elle. And as always, if you have any questions about anything we cover in this episode, do get in touch with one of us. So hi, Elle. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me, Vicky.
You're so welcome. So can we start with you please give an introduction to yourself, your business, what you do and who you help?
Yeah, so I'm Elle. I run the e-commerce assistant. So I help small and growing businesses who are selling online predominantly with Shopify and Klaviyo. But I've got an all-round e-commerce experience. So I've worked with different platforms, different businesses within businesses, and now obviously alongside small businesses. And I do that with various different services. But the big thing for me is all about teaching and training small businesses so that, and founders particularly, so that they can do things themselves. So a lot of my work is now one-to-one training or courses that I'm working on to just give them that power back to be able to go, oh, I actually do understand this, because there's a lot to learn, obviously, with the online world. Yeah, so mainly small businesses, mainly working with founders and their teams. And yeah, it's great. I love doing it. I love to help be that person that can come in and help and make that difference. Even with small, you know, small things can actually make a big difference. And I just, yeah, I love to do that.
That's brilliant. Thank you. So we've got you on here today to talk about Shopify, which I'm super excited to talk about. I used Shopify years ago, but I know that it's changed since then. So let's start off. This is going to be a really basic question. But for anyone who hasn't heard of Shopify, tell us what Shopify is in a nutshell.
Okay, so it's a platform for selling online in a nutshell, but having your own website. Obviously, there's lots of ways we can sell online with marketplaces. Obviously, you're an Amazon expert, so there's all these different options. But Shopify is the way to get your own website built, I guess. And I think what's so great about it, because you'll probably, if you are just starting out, you've seen lots of different options to kind of create your own website and start selling a product online. The thing with Shopify is that it's really easy to do. It's really built for like doing it yourself. It also has that capacity to grow. There are huge businesses using Shopify, don't get me wrong, and it will grow with you, but it's like, it's that starting point that is accessible to anyone. Like, excuse me, it obviously is a learning curve, but you can build your own website with it and start selling like straight away, which is amazing for, you know, all the small businesses out there right now.
Thank you. And that's actually the exact reason that I chose Shopify all those years ago was from looking around and reading reviews. It just seemed like the easiest one to do myself because I had no money, no experience of that kind of thing. And Shopify just looked super. And it was, I mean, even things like setting up payment providers and stuff.
Yeah.
I was quite shocked at how, not shocked is the right, maybe the wrong word. So pleasantly surprised at how easy it was.
Absolutely. And I think it is that accessible. It's not easy. Like, obviously, we're going to go through things that you don't necessarily know. It's not easy as in like, oh, it's just going to start selling. But just that access point, I think, is really easy. There's sometimes some downsides to that. But if it's not, I find that most people, you know, if they log on for the first time, they're like, oh, they are pleasantly surprised by all of it. That, oh, it is kind of, it's quite simply laid out. It's quite obvious what you need to do. Like you said, linking up payments and things like that, that can cause us some stress when we're, you know, trying to start or run a small business. They do make those things really easy for you to do. There's lots of support. It's really well known. You can go and look at other people's Shopify websites, obviously. Like, it's just that it's really accessible to people. And most people don't need to then re-platform. It will literally grow with you. That, you know, if your aim is to grow to like a multinational business, it will do that for you, which is what's so amazing, I think, about it.
Yeah, that is really impressive. And I agree with you that it's so easy. When I say easy, I think easy on the setup side. I mean, as you say, getting traffic to your website is a completely different thing. But now I work a lot with Amazon, and I can tell you, if you look at the Amazon platform versus the Shopify platform, it's so much more difficult. And you just think, absolutely, a company like Amazon, why could they have not done it like Shopify, which is just so user-friendly?
I agree. I've had some experience on Amazon myself. And yeah, it's so different. It's like they don't want people to sell on it in a way, whereas I feel like, obviously they do, but I feel like Shopify they want to help you and they do want to help small business. Okay, they're a huge company. Obviously there's profit to be made, but I do feel like they want to help those small startup businesses succeed online. I feel like that's one of their goals. Obviously they've also got other goals. So they're trying to make it easy. However, obviously, if you don't know where things are and you know you're looking out for the first time, that's where I think you can get tripped up, which is why I love to do the training and help people like just break down those barriers that they do have.
Yeah, that's great. And we'll talk about that a little bit later, actually. It's like how to actually even get started on Shopify, because I'm sure there are some basics that you need to have in place. But so you've convinced us all that Shopify is a great place to sell. But I really want to talk about Shopify 2.0, because I'm not to date with anything. and I've heard of Shopify 2.0, but I don't know much about it. So could you start by just telling us, what is Shopify 2.0? What is it?
Yeah. Firstly, I don't think Shopify have done a very good job of explaining this to their merchants. And I've said this to a few clients, like, there is stuff out there. And if you Google it, you'll see lots of different articles and you'll see things from Shopify. But I don't think they've broken it down in a really clear way and also sold the benefits, because obviously that's what we want to know. We want to know what it is, but we also want to know the benefits. So I've had to think about how I can most simply explain this. So Shopify 2.0, you're still on Shopify. There's no change. You're not re-platforming. It's not another website. But what it basically is the operating system. So just like Apple do updates to the operating system and you have to update your phone, you leave it for a while, it updates. It's kind of similar to that in that it's not going to dramatically change the logging into Shopify. The dashboard is the same, your products are in the same place, all that is the same, but the theme, where the design of the website and the functionality of the website is in your theme, that's had like the biggest changes that Shopify kind of have ever made to that operating system within the theme. So they've made things easier, they've made things look better, they've given you more functionality, they've basically given you the ability to create a website yourself using a theme still. So using that like basic structure, you're not having to custom make a site, but you're able to have all these features now that allow you to kind of make it look more custom made. So I'll run through quickly just some of the things that includes, because I think that makes it more clear for people. So on your homepage, if you're currently using Shopify, you've got your sections and you're dragging and dropping them. You probably remember this, Vicky. But until Shopify 2.0, your product pages and your collection pages and your about page, for example, they didn't have that. You just had a page and you were using perhaps page builders to do that. Well, Shopify 2.0 now has sections. They call it sections everywhere. There's now those blocks on every page. So suddenly you've got the ability to really customize, especially something like your product page. Like, really add in all these different bits of content that you probably are seeing on the bigger website. So that's like one of the biggest things. Other things are, there's now something called meta fields, which is how we create customized content on things like the product pages, so that if you need to put in, show a different weight for every single product, you can actually show that on your product page without using apps, without having to custom code or do some funny little workaround, which is kind of what people have been doing. The themes are faster, the app integrations are easier. They're just a little toggle on most of them now. It's just this amazing, like if you start using Shopify now, if we've got people listening that have just started, they've had all that kind of to begin with. But the people that are perhaps have a website that's, you know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years old and older, this will feel quite new to them. And it really is incredible to be able to make such a kind of unique website, but still with those themes that Shopify have available.
That's really good. Thank you. So it's, I guess it's about, changing in a really simplified way about giving you more options for how to, for how your website looks. Because I do remember, like I said, it's been years since I've used Shopify, but one thing I remember is I had to download lots of apps for different bits and pieces. So if I wanted reviews showing on a product or even like a star rating, I had to get an app to add in. I think it was, I had some products with different variations and I'm almost certain I needed to download an app. I do remember there was quite a lot of, can I do this? Let's go on Google. Let's find out what app I need.
There will still be apps you need, like reviews. You still need an app for reviews because obviously that's like another service. You can use the Shopify app, but it's not very good. So there's still some things that I will say, you need this app, this app, this app. However, you're right in picking up on that when I've seen people update with Shopify 2.0, where I've helped them do that, or I've done it myself for people, there's a lot of things, that are now included that make your apps redundant. And obviously reducing down those apps could be reducing your costs. It should speed your website up because all the apps are slowing it down. So I have seen that, another benefit is potentially the reduction on relying on apps, or just having that feature there rather than, like you say, you having to take that time to go, jump on Google and find something that does it. It's kind of more intuitive, I would say. There's more just available natively within the themes.
That does sound really good. And I'm really surprised, actually, that Shopify haven't been talking more about this.
I know.
So how does it work? I mean, is it something you have to update yourself, or overnight did everyone just have this?
That's the problem, I guess, Vicky, that overnight they haven't just had it. And I guess that's where maybe there's been a lack of communication. So no, you do have to do some things. So if you're on a paid theme already, if you've got a paid theme that you're totally happy with, let's say, you just need to update your theme to the latest version. Now, people should be doing that anyway, but I find, again, that's something that perhaps isn't being done that regularly because time constraints. The other problem is when you update your theme at the moment, but this is changing, when you update your theme at the moment from an old theme to the latest version to gain these features, you're basically being given that blank theme that you might remember is just like a, you've got to add in your fonts, your colors, all the customization that you've already got, you're kind of rebuilding. Which is a good and a bad thing, I guess. The bad side is that it's not just a click of a button. If only, that would be amazing. The good thing is it's a good opportunity to actually go, what's working on my site and what's not? And what features have I always wanted and I've not been able to get? And what are other brands doing now? Because the way that websites look now, even from 3, 4, 5 years ago, they've just come on so far. And a lot of websites I see look really out of date. There's a lot more features now. There's better ways of doing things. We all shop on mobile so much more. So actually, even though, yes, you've got to kind of put in that work, I guess, and get the latest update from your theme provider and then re-sort of design your theme, it's a really good opportunity just to actually go, well, what works, and maybe I do need to make some changes. If you're on a free theme, you can update to a new free theme. So a lot of people are on debut theme on Shopify. That's not available anymore, so that's now a vintage theme. And what that means is they're not going to make updates on it. There's not going to be eventually any support for it. So it's really, really important, if you are on debut, have a look now. And I really, really would recommend you updating, even if it's just to the free versions, if you're not ready to invest in a paid theme. Although I would say have a look because the pay themes are so good. But debut is like redundant if you like. So that's worth doing. So the only cost, I guess, is like your time and if you are going to invest in a new paid theme. So yeah, it's not easy, but it's if you can take that time to do it, it's so beneficial.
That's really helpful. Thank you. And I do have a few follow-up questions, if that's okay.
Yeah.
So first of all is, why should I ask first? I guess first thing I'll ask is, how much work do you think, so let's say that you're on Shopify now, maybe you've got a paid theme, so you're going to update it to get Shopify 2.0.
Yeah.
How much work is it to go in and update? As in, what's the basic you can do it. What I'm basically trying to get here, is it an hour, is it half a day, is it
I would say if you're just copying like for like, if you're just like, right, I just want to get onto the new theme, I just want to have the new theme like available, if you like, and on site, it is going to be more like days, I would say. Maybe just a day if you're doing like for like, but if you're going to actually then use the features, which obviously is what we want people to do. I want people to, add in meta fields and have lovely tabs on their product page and all this lovely stuff you can do now. That's going to take a bit more time. And I guess that's in the way to kind of speed that up is, I guess, with the planning. So going, what do I want? What do other websites do? What do I like when I shop? How is my content currently laid out, and how would it be, but you know, how would it look better? The time is going to be on the product pages for sure. That's where I'm spending the most time on clients' websites. So if people are doing it themselves, the homepage is going to be fairly similar. Collection pages maybe a bit of time, but it's really going to be the product pages that take the most time. So I would say it's a couple of days at least. And obviously we've probably got lots of time poor business owners listening, so I guess it's just planning that out of when can you kind of set that time aside to do it. But it's not learning a whole new website platform or anything. It should feel fairly familiar to you. There'll just be a few new things that maybe trip you up.
Okay, now that's helpful. Thank you. And I think presumably as well, and we'll talk a little bit later about best practices for websites and your tips on, you know, how to use these new features to really elevate them. But I'm assuming as well that you could, you know, if you are time poor, you could just go and update the new theme, keep it as it is, and then over time, yeah, spend an hour here and there just
absolutely
updating.
You could just like move over. And I think especially if people are on an old theme, like Debut, like I said, there's a few others that I can't think of off the top of my head, but Debut so commonly used because it's that one that you get when you, well, you used to get when you just opened a Shopify store, it was the one that was there for you free. So a lot of people just start building on that, which is fine. It's fairly basic, but that where there's that one is now like a vintage theme, I would say that you probably need to spend a little bit of time trying to move to a new theme. And yet, but yeah, you're right. If you have the time just to go, right, I'm going to update, I'm going to make it like for like, copy across all those settings, colors, fonts, you know, all that side of things, then yeah, say, well, now I'm going to spend X amount of time a week working on the product pages and enhancing that. That's definitely where I would start. That would work too, but it's just like, I guess, breaking down. It is a bigger task than, I do get people that say, is it just the click of a button? And honestly, I wish it was. It's not. But once you've updated, so where I've got clients already on Shopify 2.0, if there's then a new theme version, because your themes will be getting updates all the time where the developers are fixing things, improving things, adding functionality, you now get like a little notification to say, oh, your themes, you know, there's an update to 8.00. And now once you've got 2.0, the theme does kind of copy everything in it. So you've kind of, it's much, much, much easier to then continually update. So yeah, once you've done the main upgrade to Shopify 2.0 themes, it does get easier to keep on top of those updates for sure.
That's really helpful, thank you. Because it sounds like, unless I've got this wrong, that when you update, you still do have to manually copy things over, so it's not going to all translate.
Yeah, only like
for
the,
you.
Only the things within your theme. So your products aren't affected. You know where you've set those all up. Your collections, your customer, all that stuff that sits outside of the theme on Shopify. People who use Shopify will know what I mean. You know, on your dashboard, everything that's outside the theme, your pages, that's not being affected. Your SEO, you know, it's just that what's within the theme. So it is just a case of, yeah, maybe copying over your color, your hex code and your font and the sections that you currently have on your homepage and picking the right images and things. So it takes a bit of time for sure.
Thank you. And I've also realized that we've said theme so many times so far. Shall we, if it's okay, really quickly explain what a theme is? I think anyone using Shopify will obviously be okay with this. But for someone who perhaps is considering using Shopify, could you just explain really simply what the theme is?
So the theme is just the template you are using. So Shopify is, you can have a custom site built, but the huge majority of people, small businesses especially, are using a theme, which is a template design, if you like, of your site. So it's got things set up for you, but then there's loads and loads of settings that you change. So it's a drag and drop editor where you drag and drop the things you'd like to show, and then you've got all the settings where you can obviously customize. So it's your branding, your colors, your fonts, and lots more other things. But it's giving you that, I guess, that framework and that template to work upon, which is why, again, going back to the start, that's why it's great for people just starting out, for small businesses, for people without website design experience. It gives you that framework to build upon.
That's brilliant, thank you. And from what I remember, it was the main differences between themes were maybe where the way the menu worked or how big the homepage picture was. It was more of a style thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, there is definitely, I mean, there's so many themes. This is something that people often say to me, what theme do I pick? You know, there's like 90 something, if I remember rightly, in the Shopify theme store, which is where I would suggest you look, some being free and some being paid. Yes, there'll definitely be that like look and feel that you kind of are drawn to. There's also the features and the functionality that I think people often miss. So some themes, this is just one tiny example, some themes will have a, when you add to cart, they'll show you need to spend X amount to get your free delivery, you know, when you've got a £50 free delivery spend. Yeah. Some themes have that, some themes don't. So it's actually like, yes, look at the design and the look and feel and the blocks and the sections. And if you resonate with that and you like that, but also it's really important to just have that like list of, I guess, features you'd like. Most themes are similar now. There's some amazing themes out there. But it's just in, if you really need something, some sort of functionality, e-commerce functionality, it's worth just making sure the theme, yeah, it looks beautiful, but does it kind of do the job? Because some look really nice and they're kind of, they do lack on the functionality. So it that can trip you up as well a little bit. But yeah, they are all great. On the Shopify theme store, there's some really great themes. That's where, if people are having a look now, that's where I would go.
Amazing, thank you. And I'm not going to ask you to pick out a favorite theme because I know that will be different for everyone. But what might be useful actually is, are there any features that you would say make sure your theme has this? Or are there any I don't know, any key things where you say, if you're starting from scratch and you're looking for a theme, check that it does these things?
Oh, that's such a tricky question. You're right. It does depend on the brand. I've definitely got themes I work with more. I don't work with some people work with the same theme across all sites, which is fine. That's their choice. But I have, obviously no one could ever learn to use all like the features of every single theme. So I guess most people like me probably have a select few that they will sort of look at for a client and see, does that work? In terms of features I look for, I think it's really hard because sometimes you've got it, you might like the look, but you've kind of got to demo it to see what options you've got, because sometimes it's that they don't have the option to give you, like on your navigation, you just said that as an example, your navigation menu, like, has it got the option to have a left-hand logo and then the menu in the middle, or has it got the option to have the logo central and the menu below it? Like, some themes give you lots of options to do that, so you can kind of make it fit with your brand and what you're after, and then other themes don't have that option, and then you think, oh, I really want to have that left justified logo, which is so common now, and your theme doesn't allow it, or it doesn't look quite right. So it's kind of little things like that I've come across where I might talk to someone and say, oh, you should do this, like we've just said, the logo, and they're like, oh, well, I can't do that on my theme. So I don't think there's like key, I think it's making sure it's got enough sales features is a big one. And by that, I mean, ways to enhance, going back to product pages, ways to enhance your product page with, here's the free delivery threshold, and these, our products are made of organic cotton, and like all these sales points that you kind of need to make sure are throughout the site. Some themes do that better. But it's a really tricky one to pinpoint exact features. They are all really good now. A lot of them have come on a long way, especially with Shopify 2.0. Yeah, sorry, that's not the best answer.
No, it was a really good answer. Thank you. And I picked up on there that you're talking about demoing. Can you demo a theme before you go ahead and purchase it? So let's say you're looking at a paid one.
Yeah, so you can build the whole theme pretty much. So you can what I always say to do is demo, find the ones you like the look and feel of, then demo them. So yeah, you just literally click demo, it'll upload it to your theme list on Shopify, and you can, like I say, play around with those settings, go and see what the navigation looks like, see what blocks you've got on the homepage. You can literally kind of build the whole theme, design it, add your colors, add in your content. There's a few things you can't do. You can't access the code until you buy it if you need to make any changes to that, and you can't access the language, which is where you change things like add to cart button, you change it to add to bag or add to basket. But the look and feel, you can really make a good go of just with the demo, and it means you can be really sure that it's the right one for you, which I think is really important. So yeah, just definitely demo something. Don't demo too many because it could be really overwhelming, but two or three probably would be a good idea.
That's so helpful. Thank you. And also coming back to the themes and what you mentioned, free themes and paid themes. I know you won't give us a sec, but as a ballpark, what kind of cost are you looking at for a paid theme?
About $300 to $350, but it's just once. You just pay once.
Oh, okay. So it's not a monthly thing. Oh, that's really helpful.
So it's actually, in the grand scheme of things, while you're paying for Shopify monthly, you know, you want to sell on your website, $300 to $350-ish. One off, and then you get updates. You can keep updating it as the developers add more features. You've got the theme support from them as well. I think it's worth, even if budgets are tight, just seeing if you can stretch to it, because most people eventually move anyway to a paid theme because they realize, oh, I can't do this on a free theme. That's the difference with the free themes. They have less functionality and the design features aren't as good. So I think it's really reasonable.
Yeah, that's better than I was expecting, because I thought you were going to say it's, I don't know, $15 a month forever or something like that.
No, just one off.
That's really good. Okay, so, and it sounds like a free theme is okay if you don't want to pay for a paid one, first of all. So it would get you started. But it sounds like what you're saying, though, is if you can invest in a paid theme, it's probably good. Because otherwise, I guess, if a year down the line, you're like, okay, I want to update to a paid one, it sounds like there's going to be a bit of work involved in that.
Exactly. You're going to like rebuild the design of the site. So if you can invest at the start, you don't have to. The free themes, there is some great ones now, because you've got this ability to add all these sections in on all the pages. They're definitely better than they were, and they can look. I find that the free themes, I mean, I can tell that someone's theme normally just going on someone's website, but that's because obviously I look at themes all the time. I find that the free themes do look a bit more basic. They don't look as professional. They're harder to, even if you add in all your branding, they kind of still look like a template. And what we want to be able to use templates and themes that are templates, but we want the end goal, the website, to look like almost professionally designed, don't we? That's the dream DIY website. So the free themes, I just think it's much harder to get to that end goal of like it looking very professional.
That makes sense. And I know what you mean, actually. I obviously look at a lot of people's websites as well, and I can definitely tell when a website is using a free theme from whether it's Shopify or somewhere else. There is a different look about it, and it's fine. And it's absolutely functional. But you're right. You can go on some websites, and if it wasn't for that tiny little Shopify logo in the bottom corner, wherever it is, you wouldn't realize it wasn't custom.
It means that a lot, and you've probably seen this as well, then it means that a lot of websites look the same. So you don't really want to look like someone else's website. I just think it's harder to like get your, unless you've got a very strong brand, but that's normally not the case when you're starting out or you're small. So it just means a lot of websites are looking exactly the same. And yeah, we don't want that. We want our websites to be us, don't we? Our brand, and really, really shine through. And I just think some of those free ones, it's just like carbon copies of each other.
I think it's possibly because they give very little options to show your brand. So I look at quite a lot where they have a logo at the top. But other than that, once you start scrolling, it's very similar to other websites. So maybe a products page where you're scrolling through a grid of products.
Yeah.
But it's the text and everything is very generic, which nothing wrong with that. by the way, but I think you're right that it's harder to kind of, I've definitely been on websites before, and then if you'd asked me half an hour later what the site was or what the brand was called, I'd really be racking my brains because I'd just be trying to think back to that little logo at the top or whatever it was.
And I think that's where sometimes, where we said at the very beginning, Shopify is easy, Shopify is accessible. That's where I think sometimes that's a negative, because the theme, let's say you've got the free theme and it's there for you and you just pop in your logo, like you said, you pop in those basic bits of information, but you don't really do much else. And sometimes there is features there that you can change, but you don't, it's almost like you just use the basic template that you're given and you're not then being prompted, because no one's telling you to do more. It's maybe it's almost too easy sometimes and too accessible. So it can just be like a reminder to go, to give your website that like brand, that life to it, whether that's with copy, images, branding, content, you know, it, and just sometimes if you, even if you're not told to change something, just go and make sure you've, you know, had a look at it. Like the font, I see lots of websites with the theme font, if you know what I mean, like the font that comes with the theme. And I'm like, why haven't you changed it to your font? Like that's such an easy change. So yeah, just having, I always tell people just to look, even though there's tons and tons and tons of settings, just have a look through them. And if you understand them and you feel comfortable, like just think about how you can change those things to be more you. It's got to be you. That website's got to show your brand.
Thank you. And font, you said then, was a great example. What are the like handful of things, if you wanted to give people, make this really actionable, what are the handful of things you would say, as well as font, people could go and change in their settings today just to help personalize their site a bit?
Font, I've been seeing a lot recently. I'm not sure why. So font, definitely go and look at the font. But and make sure it's, if you don't have a brand font maybe, or your brand font is not available, you want to use a font that's available within Shopify, that's easy to read, that's a sans serif font, so just no flourishes to it, really easy to read and big enough. A lot of websites, their font is not big enough to read. You're looking at 17 point at least to be able to read it. It seems huge, but it's what we need. So having a look at that. Colors, definitely colors as well. And this is probably where some of the free themes, there's less choice to sort of change, like you picked up on. So change what you can, but make sure if you've only got one brand color, you do need more than one, because otherwise there's not going to be that differentiation between like your buttons and a background or a block that you design. So have a think about that. What else would I change? Things like the navigation, how that layout is, and your menu, making that like, don't just leave the menu as Shopify gives you this really horrible example menu where it's got like catalog and about or something on the top. And obviously that's not a shop menu. We want a nice, easy to follow menu with what you sell along the top. And your footer menu as well. I always see footers are just haven't really been thought about, and your footer is quite important. A lot of people will go there for that extra bit of information. What else would I just have a look at in the settings? Things like your social media links, just make sure you've popped them in so that you're showing that on site, to make sure that, you know, you're showing that you are a brand on social media and you've got this following. And sometimes that's missed. And linking to your email newsletter, definitely. Like a lot of people, I think, just forget to kind of personalize that bit. It's got that generic text in that it's just like, sign up for news, and just giving that a bit of personality, telling people what they're going to get from you. Little things like that. And little things make a big difference, for sure.
That's brilliant. Thank you. I'm sure people will be frantically writing all those down. these are really useful. I'm with you when you said social media, that popped into my head, because I've seen a few sites like where you click on the Instagram button and there's just, it goes nowhere.
Yeah. Or it goes to like the website builder's Instagram. Yeah. Sometimes like Shopify or Woo, whoever you're with, might put in their social, and then you think, oh gosh. Yeah, just checking all those links. Checking links is a really good one. But I think that language is quite key as well, that you picked up on as well. Like it's that generic language that's just there. Like Shopify use something called featured collections as one of their headings, and that doesn't mean anything to anyone. It's just what Shopify call it. So it's like just looking, when you're using those blocks, just looking, okay, well, what's the words, and what would I say about, you know, this featured collection, for example? That can make a real difference.
I actually found collections really tricky to get my head around when I started on Shopify. I think it is because of the language, because it's
it's obviously it's clear now to me what a collection is, but I think the language around it made it seem like something more, not as straightforward as it was.
Yeah, and obviously it's just a category. I don't know why they call it collections. There are some funny things and funny quirks in Shopify for sure, where it's like some weird terminology that doesn't really make sense to you. And I think that's why it's so key to like look at those bits that they've kind of popped in, because it is a templated website builder. You've got to go and look, well, what are they calling this? And even add to cart, like I picked up on earlier, like that's very American to say add to cart. We generally are, you know, English websites generally say add to bag, add to basket. And I just little things like that to the language that can make a real big difference for your website.
That's so helpful. Thank you. So while we're getting all this great advice from you, let's keep going. So we get some fantastic tips here. So what other best practices would you say there are for Shopify websites? How can we make sure that the customers coming to our sites are having a really great user experience? Whether that's, I mean, you covered so much already, Elle, I know, but is there anything else that you think we should have or do to just make our websites like really, you know, pleasant and easy to buy from?
I think having just that in the back of your mind when you're building it or rebuilding it is just so key. So like always thinking, what does the customer want? It's really hard to do sometimes because you're thinking about you getting your brand across, your products, and you know them so well, but actually it's just always thinking the other way of what does a customer want and need to see. I think the biggest thing I see is that messaging needs to be repeated. So what I mean by that is, if you've, most people have a headline above their logo on most pages, so that normally says free delivery over £50 or something like that, some sort of key message across the site, or it might be a promotion you're currently running, or last Mother's Day orders are next week. That sometimes that message is so important, whether it's a seasonal promotion or the free delivery, but it's literally just once, it's just in that headline. And I think we often think, oh, I can't keep repeating myself. I can't keep saying, you know, I've got this promotion on cards, they're 4 for £3 or whatever. But actually, we as consumers, we don't see everything going on, do we? We're not like, we cannot possibly take in all that content that you've got on your homepage, your collection page, your product page. So I think, yes, thinking about what does that customer want to see, but also remembering that they might land straight on your product page. So something you've mentioned on your homepage, some amazing promotion or something about you as a brand, that's a really key, like the proposition statement about you and what makes you different. Well, they might not have entered on the homepage. They might have entered on a product page. So I think it's about having that brand explanation and who you are across the whole site, but also remembering you're selling things. So any sales message, anything, whether it's free delivery, whether it's a promotion, whether it's that everything comes gift wrap, whether it's that everything's your eco-friendly messaging, like all these things that we see on other sites, like get that across and get it across absolutely everywhere, especially if it's something that is directly going to help, like an average order value. Like if you run a promotion and you want people to buy that, if you need people to start buying two products rather than one, you're trying to up that average order value. You know, what are you doing? Where are you mentioning that? Is it mentioned on the cart? Is it mentioned on the checkout? And I mean, that's so much easier said than done. But I think if you just keep that in your mind, that you will never say it too much. Never think like you're overdoing it, because we just don't all see everything. We're only seeing like tiny little snapshots, and we're spending such a little amount of time on each page that you need to repeat those really key messages.
That's so helpful. Thank you. And I completely agree, because especially if you're coming to a website from, say, Google Shopping, let's say, often it will take you directly to the product page.
Yeah.
And then sometimes you have to then go to find the about page or the delivery policy or whatever it is to find that information you want. And I'll be honest, that's like something that I find a bit annoying. If I find something, but there's something I want to know, whether it's, delivery cost or anything really, and you have to go trawling the site, whereas, and I think it's a bit of a barrier, because more than once I've ended up getting distracted and I've just
left.
forgot forgotten.
Yeah.
You know, how it checks out or whatever. Whereas I think if everything's on your product page, I can totally see how that's really helpful, because you want to make it as easy as possible for people to buy from you, don't you? And what you really don't want is them to have to go from your product page somewhere else. Because you've kind of lost their attention a little bit.
Yeah, you don't want them to leave the product page, for one. Like, we don't want to be sending them elsewhere. And also, we want to help them. So sometimes I think there's this mindset of, oh, I don't want to sell too much, I want to become salesy, I don't want to be pushy. It's like, no, you're helping. Like you just said, oh, I need to know if I'm going to get this by X day. I need to know how much delivery costs. I need to know the weight because it's going aboard. I need to know the length of the necklace because, you know, all these little things. Everybody kind of shops in a different way. So we need someone will just see the picture and click add to cart. They'll always be that customer and they're amazing. But there's also lots and lots of other customers that need to see the reviews, that need to see the dimensions, that need to like learn more, or just learn about your, want to learn about your brand and know that you're, there's also that trust element, isn't there? That know that you're a genuine person selling things. There's a lot of mistrust still on the internet. So yeah, definitely. It's kind of like information overload, but honestly, I don't think you can ever do too much information.
I agree. I think that you want, I mean, one of my, the things I really dislike when I'm shopping myself is if I go to a products page and there's two lines of text and one picture, because I'm like, because I would much rather buy from the person who gives me all the stuff that I need. And that's what, that works everywhere. You know, that applies on Amazon, Etsy, people's websites.
That is just e-commerce. Yeah. I think some big brands can get away with that. I will say that if you are, you know, looking at other websites, and that includes big brands, which you should definitely use for inspiration, you might go, well, they don't have to talk about, you know, John Lewis doesn't have to say who John Lewis is, but it's like, yeah, but they're John Lewis. They don't have to do that part. So you will potentially see some larger brands, maybe not one image. They'll usually have more images because they've got more budget for that, but with like less copy, but like they might not have to sell it as hard. But yeah, I think if it, most people now, there's all that detail, there's that like sales pitch, there's detail, there's images, there's customer reviews, there's about the brand, there's a lot of stuff, and that's just your product page. I mean, there's obviously the rest of the site, but information, give them the information they need.
And I think you're right that have some brands can do it differently. And I think it also some products. So for example, I think with clothing, you don't necessarily need two paragraphs of a description. You might want to know the dimensions and the fabric and maybe washing. You need to know what you need to know. Yeah. But you don't need two paragraphs about this will look great with this type of shoes or whatever necessarily.
No, but you'd need like a size guide, wouldn't you? Like you all want to know. And the thing at the minute I'm seeing with clothing is when I see the images, whether it's photo shoot images or they're using user generated image content that customers have sent in, I just want to know what size that person's wearing, because that I can then I'm really struggle with like a size guide that's just dimensions. Like I can't contextualize that. But if they say the model is 5'7", which I am, and wearing a size 12, I'm like, oh, okay, well, I feel like that will fit me. There's these generic things that everyone can do. We've covered delivery is obviously one of them, but then it's definitely depends on what you sell, the content that will really help. And just thinking of it as help rather than selling, I think that helps reframe it and reframe what you're doing on your website.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And that was funny enough, was the exact example I was going to give. I can't remember what website it is where they often have the same dress, say, and they'll have a few different ladies wearing it. And they'll say, Rachel is 5'7" and a size 12.
Yeah.
Tina is 5' and a size 16. And I think it's just so helpful. It's and I know so that helpful. That's not possible for everyone because that's a lot. But I think even if you just have one model and you say, this is how tall they are. Because that for me, I'm 5'7" as well. And I know that's not super tall.
No, but things are short on us, right?
Yeah. So yeah.
I think, exactly. And it just helps. It means you're thinking of your customer again. It's putting yourself in your customer's mind of like, what do I want to know? What will make me buy this? Some people, it will be the fabric content. Some people, it's obviously fit is hugely important with any clothing. But those details can make such a difference. And it's interesting that you've noticed it too, because I think people after listening will go on clothing sites now and see that happening a lot more.
And I think it's all good, isn't it? And there's definitely seems to be, I don't know if this is a, I don't know if trend's the right word, but I don't know whether you're seeing the sale, but I'm definitely seeing more information appearing on product pages in general.
Absolutely. I think it's because well, like we've just been talking, I think Shopify, for example, have made that a lot easier to do with Shopify 2.0. Like tabs are now so easy to build, and making sure the right information. You don't have to have generic information in your tabs. You can have product specific information. It's not a trend in that it's going to go, but it is definitely a trend. It's the way websites are going, product-based websites, because it's breaking down those big long bits of copy that we used to see into that manageable like chunks, and also means that if you want to see something as a customer, you can go and look straight away. You can go straight to the fit guide. If you're a repeat customer and you know what size you are, you don't need to see that, but you might want to see like other things. So it is, it's definitely, everyone will go and see it a lot more now that we spoke about it.
And this question has only just occurred to me, so it might be that you have to think about it, or you say, actually, I can't think of anyone, but are there any websites that you would say are really good examples of how to do product pages well, whether it's big brands, small brands? And I'm sorry, because I've literally just sprung that on you, but I'm just thinking it might be good.
I've got a list. Don't worry. Because I'm currently like building a course, I've been doing all this research of like giving people inspiration, because I feel like even though it's all out there on the internet, right? There's all these websites, small or big, like you say, I think we forget just to go and look at them and like not copy. It's not about copying. It's about taking inspiration and seeing what's working. So an example I use all the time is Beauty Pie. Their product pages are so good. They're selling beauty online. Like that's one of the hardest things to sell. You can't smell it, try it. You know, you can't even return it. They have to provide so much information about their products. That's one I would look at. And another product page example. There's a clothing brand called Passenger that I shop with. They're like an eco organic cotton sort of brand. They have really lovely product pages, and they do the fit thing. They do the model with the fit, and that really helps me. And I just think they've got a nice layout, but they keep it very on brand. So there's two examples for you.
That's brilliant. Thank you. And as soon as we're done here, that's where we're going.
Go shopping.
I love to see examples of things done really, really well. And as you say, it's not about copying. It's just seeing, I think it's more about features, isn't it? What features have they got, or what kind of information are they sharing? Because I do know, you know, from my own experience, that when you set up, particularly your first e-commerce website, it's like that blank page thing, isn't it? It's like, what do I need to put on my product pages? I don't know what
even though we've talked about the theme, that is a template and it's kind of got the bare bones there for you, the product page specifically isn't going to have everything you need there. That's not going to be there. That's going to be, you're going to have to look what things you can add, what sales points they call them on Shopify, so like the fit guide, like the reviews, things like that, and then also the sections. So you're gonna have to actually actively do that. So you are gonna get a bit of blank page, I don't know what to do. But what I found with Shopify 2.0 is that if you see something on a big website, so there's two big brands I've kind of given you examples for, there's a lot of stuff you can now do yourself on Shopify that you'll have seen on a big website. And I think that's the key thing, that it is doable now.
That's really good. Thank you. So I guess if you're listening and you're thinking, oh, I don't know where to start, have a look at these big brands. Yeah. Ones that Elle suggested are good starting points, and then just almost list out like what you'd want on your site. And it sounds like with Shopify 2.0, at least, it should all be doable. Even if it's a bit of tweaking, because I do know from Shopify there is sometimes the odd app you need, or you might need to tweak something, but it sounds like it's all doable, one way or another.
I mean, people come to me and say, oh, can we do this? And the answer is usually yes, we can do anything. It's just, like you say, finding that way. Is it within the theme? Do you need a paid theme? Do you need an app? Do you need a custom development? Do you need code? There's always a way. What I tend to do is find the easiest, cheapest way that somebody can then maintain it themselves as well. So it's got to be easy for you to like update. If it's an app, it's got to be easy for you to use. There's always a way to do things. So I think going onto those sites, taking that inspiration, seeing what fits with your brand, what do you need? What are the other clothing brands doing right now? Or the other beauty brands, whatever you sell, is a really beneficial exercise.
Thank you. And I think you're right. And we haven't even touched on the fact that you can do pretty much anything on Shopify with code, but I think we will leave that there. Just know that you can. But I think for 99% of us, that probably
I don't think
be needed.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I
I think people think they need code because we hear about code, websites code, but Shopify is built to make kind of not, you don't really need to do that, but you can if there's something you need to hard code in, you will be able to do that. You probably want to get a professional to do that, but most apps and themes are doing a lot of the work for you now.
That's great, thank you. And then let's a few more questions before we finish up. What would be good to know is, especially if you have Shopify 2.0, what are some things you can do to sort of elevate your website? So we've spoken about a lot about some of the basic things, but what are things we could do? Let's say that we're on Shopify and, you know, lovely site, all on brand. Is there anything additional we can do now to just bring it up a level?
I think I'm going to focus on the product pages again, because that's that and collection pages. Normally people's home pages are fairly decent, like you said, if they're at that level of like they've kind of applied their brand and they've got that good look and feel. I think it's then like enhancing things. So where you might have 4 to 5 lovely product images, which are a mix of studio-based shots, like blank product shots, and then lifestyle shots, that's when you might go, I need people wearing clothes or using the products. So I think like it's looking at things like that where you can go, oh, I've done this well, but how can I make it better? So images is a big one, because most sites I see don't have images of, they have lots of professional images, perhaps they're at that stage, but they don't have the sort of user generated content, the real life images, and they can be so beneficial because seeing any product in real life really, really helps. And things like reviews as well. Okay, most, if we're talking about most sites that have got to that level of a good website, it's still worth looking at reviews and how you're using them on the product page and how easy they are for people to see, how they're curated, whether they've got images supplied. What else would I do to elevate? Oh, that's a tricky one. It would be things like looking at the content. And what I find is, even if a website is doing really well, they've got a beautiful website, they're selling really well, what it's normally the case is that the content still isn't screaming their brand, to be honest. They might have a really great product that is selling really well, and they've got this engaged community to sell to, but often they're kind of forgetting that some people will hit the site as a total newbie, and they're not really getting across all the benefits of the brand, the things they do that are great, the things about them that are great. And I guess that's just because we don't like to sort of sing about ourselves so much. So usually adding in, you know, founder stories, a lot of my clients don't talk about themselves. It's not that they don't want to necessarily, it's kind of like they don't think they need to, and you don't need to, but having that like human connection. And I think that's the same with, you know, having those images from customers and things. It's bringing that human connection onto the site. And of course, you've always got to think about like great customer service. I'm a big advocate for great customer service. And that does start on something like your product page. Like, what information are you giving them? And then what service are you providing if they need help before they order, like with sizing? Or help with, if you sell gifts, like, are you providing like a gift, like a service to help them pick the right gift and have the gift sent to someone, gift notes, all this stuff. So I think it's like those little things, that customer service side can make a huge difference as well.
That's really helpful, thank you. And I hadn't thought about that the customer service kind of starts before someone even buys from you.
Definitely.
That's really, and I guess it even starts just by having a lot of the information people need, well, all the information people need on the page, even. I guess that's also a really good starting point, because that probably even reduces some of that customer service.
Oh, absolutely. Like, it's almost like, if you look on sites now, you'll find that like they have less FAQ pages than they used to. So an FAQ page used to be like a bit of a must. I find that less and less sites have them now, because they're kind of giving you all that, or access to all that, on like a product page. And there'll be things in the footer, of course, as well, because that's where we provide that information. But even just building that trust on your website is kind of it's not like a tangible thing. It's a really hard one to pin down what that is specifically. That's along with the customer service and being that friendly, you know, a person available to help. That's difficult to do, but that can really, that's that elevation, I think.
That's really helpful. Thank you. So I have one final question before we finish out. I think we could talk about this for a long time, actually.
Yeah.
My final question is, what is your number one piece of advice for having a great e-commerce website?
one piece of, oh my goodness, this is the thing I really struggle with, because I'm like, I just want to say everything. One piece of advice. I think it's applying your brand and you to it, because I think that's what I've seen where we're talking about small startup or growing small businesses that maybe DIY'd on Shopify. I think it's just ensuring that you have applied your brand and you to that website, that it looks less templatey and more you and your brand, and that it's not just font and color. Obviously we've picked up on those, but it is more than that. And obviously looking at it from the customer's perspective and looking at it with fresh eyes is almost impossible, but really just try and do that, or get someone else to do it. If you can't, if you're like, I've gone blind to it, get someone you know just to look at it and give you that feedback. Don't be upset by it, because a website is not static. You have to continually work on it. You cannot just build a website and leave it. Unfortunately, it's got to have those continual updates and optimizations. So to get that feedback, if you can, or feedback from customers, whoever you've got, and then apply those changes and yeah, bringing that brand out, I think super. That's my one thing. That was like three things.
That was really helpful. Thank you. I think that was a hard question, because it sounds like there's not just one thing you need to do.
I think that's the point. It's not one thing. Do this and you've got a successful, you know, e-commerce website. Obviously the product matters. You know, we've not even talked about that, because that's not what I generally deal in. But I think if I just think of the website, it's so many little things all added up that create this experience. But I think also thinking like that does make it more manageable, hopefully, for people, so that they can say, well, I haven't got reviews yet. I'm just going to focus on, I'm going to add reviews. I'm going to start asking for reviews. That's one thing done, and then move to the next, because you just can't tackle the whole thing at once sometimes.
That's so helpful. Thank you so much, Elle.
That's okay.
Thank you so much for listening right to the end of this episode. Do remember that you can get the full back catalogue and lots of free resources on my website, vickyweinberg.com. Please do remember to rate and review this episode if you've enjoyed it, and also share it with a friend who you think might find it useful. Thank you again, and see you next week. Hi, this is just a little note. So if you've enjoyed this episode, or indeed any of the episodes, and you would like to, I don't know, buy me a coffee or something, you can actually now leave tips. So there's a link to how to do this in the show note. Of course, do not feel obliged to do this. This is a free podcast. This will always be a free podcast. But as I say, if you want to buy me a coffee, you can do that via the link in the show notes.